Welcome back, everyone, to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. I am your host, Danny Duarte, joined by my co-host, Brian Acevedo. And guys, we have the second round wrapping up at this point. We've already got a series in the books. The Miami Heat are going back to the Eastern Conference Finals for the second time in 3 years. A pretty good record, given the fact that they supposedly have no superstars. They just have a solid-built team, so props to them. They knocked off the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 6. Great contributions from everyone on the team. But Brian, I think that the overall premise of conversations and just where people are headed is that Philly collapsed more than Miami, you know, deservedly took the win. What are your thoughts on this Philadelphia 76ers team and all the, you know, the backlash and the fallout given this loss?
Yeah, I figured, Dan, that you would probably be leaning towards the side of it was more credit to Miami than blaming Philly. But for those of you all that watched the same games that I watched, I mean, Philly looked like they had no energy in the last two games. It was very weird to see, like, the collapse, I guess, is the best word to use. Obviously, it didn't look like they were responding well to Doc Rivers at all. James Harden really came up short. I know we'll talk about him and his future a little bit later in the episode. Joel Embiid, I mean, it's tough. Embiid was really dealt a rough hand from the beginning of the season, from the time, you know, the Ben Simmons situation all season long, then having limited time to kind of transition James Harden into their rotation, and then even seeing Harden kind of relegate back to what Ben Simmons gave you in the second half a couple years ago. Like, not much effort, unfortunately, and it's tough to watch, man. But as far as Philly goes, they've got a lot of tough decisions to make. I think personally, retaining Doc Rivers is the right move. I think James Harden is more to blame personally for their collapse than anybody else on that team.
So you agree with Daryl Morey's, press releaser basically saying Doc Rivers should stay on another year. They're going to run it back. And I think that the biggest question then becomes, man, like, do you sign James Harden up for the max contract? We did a poll on Twitter, and the resounding audience said no, they would not resign James Harden, but they did state, like, Daryl Morey probably is going to resign into this max. What are your thoughts on this? Like, I am of the camp, give him a fair contract, you know, 35 mil at most, but, like, definitely not max, you know, around the 60 million per year range.
No chance, not at his age and not with his inability to truly commit to basketball. That's really the hardest part for me to give him that much money, honestly, Dan. It would shock me if Philly did that. I know Daryl Morey is the president of the James Harden fan club, but it would be, to me, a major surprise if he gave it. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if Philly wants him to opt out. I know by opting out, they don't have much cap room, but even by opting in, you're basically giving yourself a 1 year window and then kind of like a prove it deal. But let's be real, at that point, then James Harden will be 33 at the end of next season. And then you're going to have to decide, hey, do we have to give him this big max contract? And he's going to be hard to trade too, Dan. That's the other thing people are not thinking about. I know that there's not a lot of teams out there with the cap space. I know you can make moves, but who's going to go and make a move for this guy after the performance we just saw in these playoffs?
Yeah, I just don't see it in the books. I mean, shout out to Bobby Marks. He called it back when the trade did go down in February that if they were to re-sign James Harden, we would be looking at his contract in the same lens as John Wall and Russell Westbrook, with just one of the poorest contracts in terms of value later on in his career. And he's definitely showing, like, he's already, like, putting doubt in people's heads, so it's already a bad sign. But, Brian, I want to flip to the other side of the argument, the Miami Heat. You were an avid proponent that Jimmy Butler couldn't lead this team to the promised land. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you and I can both agree that the road to the Eastern Conference Finals for them wasn't the hardest, but regardless, they made it there. Do you think that ultimately they're going to lose to the winner of the Celtics-Bucks series at the end of the day, or do you think that this team has enough strength and just prowess to get it done? I mean, we saw big contributions from undrafted players like Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, and, you know, some other lesser-known role players like PJ Tucker.
Listen, Dan, it's hard to count out the Miami Heat at this point. As you touched on, they've got a lot of depth more so than a lot of other teams out there. I would say they're right up there with Bucks and Celtics. It's I couldn't blame you for picking the Heat, especially with home court advantage. But personally, I just feel like the winner of Bucks Celtics is going to the finals. And to clarify on the Jimmy Butler point as well, when I say promised land, I mean he can lead your team to an NBA championship as the best player. Jimmy has no question. I tip my cap. He has definitely turned up a couple of notches of intensity from regular season Jimmy to postseason Jimmy. Dan, you and I talked. He missed a ton of games in the regular season, but it turned out to work out for the best because he got some good rest out during the regular season there. My biggest point with Jimmy is that I don't think he can be the best player on a championship team. I think even if the Heat do make the finals, I think one of the Suns, Warriors, or potentially at this point the Mavericks, I think any one of those teams could potentially beat the Heat in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, let's wait and see. I think to your earlier point, no one expected Jimmy Butler to be the leading point getter in the NBA playoffs as far into the playoffs, and also arguably be the best player in terms of playoff performances so far. So props to Jimmy, props to the Heat, congratulations to them, and we will wait and see for the winner of the Celtics-Bucks series that's going to end soon. And then, Brian, I want to pivot to another series out west, a series neither one of us expected to go seven games, but here we are, the Mavs versus the Phoenix Suns. Holy crap, Luka Doncic and the Mavs just put a pounding on the Suns in game six. I watched that game until halftime and knew it was over, just given the momentum that they had and the intensity they came out with. Game seven, back in Phoenix, back in the Valley. What are your thoughts? Bro, at this point, I wouldn't be judging anyone if they jumped ship from the Phoenix bandwagon and hopped on the Mavs one instead.
Yeah, things are not looking pretty for the number one seed, the Suns. I will say that every home team has won each game this series. The Luka and Devin Booker little rivalry going back and forth has been pretty interesting to watch, Dan. I think that's been one of the highlights of the series. But to me, the biggest call out, I would say, is probably Chris Paul. I mean, I've kind of felt like he really is the true engine of that Suns team. As he goes, that team goes. And we've kind of seen in performances where he's turning the ball over, he's getting into foul trouble, some really uncharacteristic things that we don't expect to see from CP3. The team seems to struggle, obviously, when that happens. So we're going to have to see. I still have the Suns in game seven. I can understand why a lot of folks may be backing off of their Suns championship predictions for sure, because they have not looked the most consistent so far in the playoffs. It's definitely a question mark. And I think in the conference final, I think it's going to end up being Warriors Suns. I think the Warriors are going to give them, you know, their money's worth. I think it's going to be a really close series, but hey, even the Mavs with Luka Doncic in game seven, you never can really count them out. They could definitely win this game seven.
I will be the first to say, I think I'm on the Mavs bandwagon solely because I saw a crazy stat, which really blew my mind. The fact that Luka Doncic is the equivalent of Devin Booker and Chris Paul in this series when both players haven't been playing well, which has been, at this point, three out of the six games. So, you know, like at the end of the day, they haven't played well in half of the games. Luka Doncic has been consistent throughout the series. He's gotten enough contributions from his role players to push through. Bro, I worry that the Suns were depending too much on the flip it and switch it kind of mentality of just like it'll click when they have to and they can get it done. They took this team for granted, and I think that the Mavs are going to try to go for the throat at this point.
Yeah, and it's interesting to kind of talk about, I know we're going to talk about the Bucks here soon, but it's kind of interesting. Both teams that made the finals last year are really in some bar fights here in the second round. I still think they're both going to make it out, though. I think that championship experience will get them there, but it makes you a little uncomfortable knowing that the Suns could have finished this series in six, and now they're in an elimination game. That is a little scary.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, we weren't expecting this series to go seven games. I think, I can't remember, but I think we either had this series in five or six max each. So the fact that it's going seven deep is really a testament to the Mavs and their, you know, their team chemistry and their coaching, but also just a clear sign of the Suns collapsing at the worst times possible.
Yeah, and I will say the only thing is Dallas's bench has obviously, and their rotation players in general, have played really well at home in Dallas. They need to bring that same energy to Game 7. I know Luka's going to bring it. We know Luka is going to play with a sense of urgency. We need to see it from his teammates because Phoenix at home is a different team, as we've seen, and I think they're going to be very, very tough to beat at home in a Game 7.
It's going to be really interesting to see. Game 7 is obviously on Sunday, guys, so stay tuned for that. No NBA action on Saturday night. That being said, let's pivot to Friday night action. We have the first matchup being probably the most interesting of the two, the Boston Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee, crazy, crazy ending to Game 5 in Boston. We saw Jrue Holiday ultimately come up with the clutchest of moves down the stretch with a late game-saving block and a late game-saving steal. And this is just probably another legacy point for Giannis. I mean, the 40-pointer and also just the fact that he was bleeding from the eye and he just got it done. I mean, Brian, I think that at this point, the Celtics are deflated and this is going to be the ultimate test of their resiliency and really prove if they can make it to the next round. What are your thoughts of this series going into Game 6?
Yeah, I mean, my initial gut says Milwaukee, but then I also thought that going into Game 4, where Milwaukee really had the chance to take a commanding 3-1 lead and Boston came in and just went crazy in that fourth quarter. I'll be honest, Dan, I could see the exact same thing happening tonight. This, to me, this series has been such a toss-up. Milwaukee's won two of their three games on the road in Boston. I think it's no question Jason Tatum has got to be the guy tonight to step up for Boston and be a presence from start to close. I think what got away from them in Game 5, they came out and, you know, had that sense of urgency. And I think once they got a lead, they got a little bit comfortable there down the stretch. And, I mean, you just cannot leave the window open for a championship team like the Bucks. Also, some not good news right before we went on the air. Robert Williams was just ruled out for Game 6. I mean, I know they've been playing without him so far, but I mean, you were hoping in an elimination game you'd be able to have him available. I think that doesn't help. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think Boston's not going to go out there and lay down. I think it's going to go down to the wire, just like all the other games this series. But man, if Boston can force a Game 7, that would be huge. If I had to bet, I'd say it's the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I think that last loss to them was just, it was too deflating at the end of the day. I mean, they wanted to get that, that win at home, and now they have their backs against the walls. It's like the complete opposite of what they were expecting. I think Robert Williams definitely still hurts him being out, obviously. And let's be real, man. I mean, Platano Power, he's done his thing, but they haven't been able to contain Giannis at the end of the day. I mean, Giannis has had his way with this team, and it's just more so been, who else can step up a little bit to help Giannis push through? I think that Giannis's superstar power is just too much for this young Celtics team to handle. And that's no knock to him.
Yeah.
To them.
It's funny. I was actually listening to NBA radio and they were talking about, you know, who are the top players left in the playoffs. They said Giannis by far is the best player left in the Eastern Conference. Dan, I know we just talked about the West and some pretty good superstars there with Booker and Luka. Who do you think is the best player left in the Western Conference?
Oh, without a doubt, it's Luka. I'm not even going to hesitate.
Ooh, okay. So Luka and Giannis are arguably, I would say, the two best players left in the
playoffs. Look, let me preface this statement because it kind of bothered me the fact that like you put Devin Booker ahead of Steph Curry when you were prioritizing.
No, you're right. Obviously, what, Steph is out there. I'm just, those are names that they mentioned. Obviously, Steph Curry is in that discussion as well.
Well, like the fact that people, I love Booker's game. Like, I love his game. I think he, you know, he's clearly a stud. He's a star in the making. But like, let's relax, guys. Let's not give him superstar status yet. I mean, I would give Jimmy Butler superstar status before Devin Booker, or hell, maybe even CP3 at this point. But to your point, Brian, to me, it's clearly the two best players left in the playoffs are Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic. Anyone that says otherwise is either a fanboy or just hasn't been paying attention.
Wow. I think some would still debate you on Steph versus Luka, but hey, you know, we're hopefully, maybe if Luka can, you know, get past Phoenix and surprise the world, maybe he can have an opportunity to show everybody that he's better.
after the last game, I don't know how many people are still Steph, you know, rooting the Steph bandwagon after that debacle last game, man. That was just brutal.
Let's not be recency bias here. Let's remember this is the greatest shooter in NBA history here. This guy can easily light him up if he needs to.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a great segment transition because we're going to pivot away from the Eastern Conference to the Western Conference. The other game six going into tonight, we have the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Brian, I touched on it really briefly. Obviously, Memphis just pounded on the Warriors last game without Ja Morant. Ja's pretty much out for the rest of the series, if not the playoffs, with his bone bruise. But, man, I mean, they were down by as much as 55 points at one point. I mean, it was bad for the Warriors. What are your thoughts as, you know, we head into game six?
I would say of all the playoff games that we've seen, that might have been the most shocking. Obviously, Golden State with an opportunity on the road to close things out. They did not get the job done at all. Memphis, you got to give them props, man. They came out to play. We did talk about that. I know we recorded right before that game started, and I said I could definitely see Memphis coming out with energy, defending home court, and forcing a game six. So here we are. Now, this is kind of where I think Memphis's season ends, unfortunately for Grizzlies fans out there. If Memphis can force a game seven after forcing a game six without Ja Morant, that to me says a lot about the depth of the Memphis Grizzlies and how good they obviously are. And they are the two seed for a reason. But I just think the championship experience, I don't think Steph Curry and the Warriors want to extend this series out any further. They're already going to be back home. They want to close things out. It would be a big surprise to me if Memphis was able to force a game seven, Dan.
Let's wait and see. I think to your point, championship experience and playoff experience probably play their biggest hand in this series out of all of them, because it's very hard for a team to just wash away and like basically clean slate a 50-point like loss basically at the end of the day in the playoffs. So if the Warriors can do that, which all signs indicate that they should be given their championship pedigree, then this game six is going to be a wrap. Otherwise, game seven, here we go, man. I mean, like, Memphis has a momentum. They're riding hot. We just got to wait and see how the Warriors react.
I think it's safe to say, Dan, if I had told you before the series started that Ja Morant was going to get hurt mid-series and that the Grizzlies would win two in a row without him, what would you have said?
I would be shocked. But, Brian, I mean, the stats show that it's feasible. Because, yeah, like, when Ja was out during the regular season, they had a ridiculous record of, like, I'm making this up, but it's along the lines of, like, 20-2 or something like that. Yeah. Like, they were really good without Ja in the lineup. So it's a testament to their depth, their coaching, and just their team chemistry. Like, they are built with the next man up mentality. So, I would be surprised. But if you told me that, like, I'd be like, damn, like, the stats back it up.
I know, and I agree with you there. I think when it comes to that, they've obviously proven they can win without Ja, so that's not going to be the only reason. I think it just has to do with the fact that it's a game six at Golden State. I mean, if it were another team, I would say, hey, I would argue Memphis has as good a shot as any. It would just be really surprising. I think I heard a stat on the radio earlier that Golden State has only lost like three or four home games since 2015 in the playoffs. I think it's just absurd. And I mean, we know how many championship runs they've made. They have not lost to many teams. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun, no doubt. Very quickly, Brian, before we kind of wrap up, do you think that Ja Morant at this point, like, would you give him the max extension right after this offseason?
I guess you kind of have to. I mean, he just won most improved player. He's obviously a guard that is super dynamic. I would argue probably the most athletic, electric player in the league. He's obviously rejuvenated that Memphis team after they broke up the Mike Conley Grizzlies. So I think you, no question, have to offer a max extension to Ja Morant, man, at this point. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm on the same boat. It's going to be interesting just given their current roster and like how the money and salary cap thing works out at the end of the day. If they do offer him, I think it would be a a Supermax extension, given the fact that he was also an All-Star. Yeah. And he might be All-NBA, right? So, like, it's a big contract. But, like, you got to do it. I mean, at the end of the day.
You have to. There's, you know, you're not getting John Morant's left and right out here in the draft. Like, you need to – when you secure that type of player, you need to try to lock them in, surround them with good pieces, and, you know, build around them. So, it would be a shock to me if Memphis did that. It's actually funny, Dan. I was thinking, because we were just talking about Golden State, Mike Brown, it was a random thought that occurred to me. Mike Brown obviously just hired as the Sacramento Kings coach. I know we talked about that. Talk about how the two games that he coaches, as soon as Steve Kerr gets out with COVID, the Warriors come out and probably have two of their worst games of the series. Is there any correlation there to Mike Brown? Should Kings fans be concerned, Dan?
I wouldn't read into it that much, honestly. Like, I think that it's not a testament to Mike Brown and his coaching style, more so to the team. Like, the team ultimately is the one that fell apart. I think that would have happened with or without Steve Kerr, that they accrued those losses. Maybe the losses wouldn't have been as much, but, like, I think they still would have caught the L, right? Like, I don't want to judge Mike Brown off too poor playoff performances coaching.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And in fairness, they also did win Game 4 also. So it's not – they just did struggle the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, exactly. Like, I think that it was more so a situation than, like, anything else. But, I mean, let's wait and see. I mean, Mike Brown, he's got a tough journey ahead of him at the end of the day. It's that simple.
To say the least, his seat is definitely changing for the worse. So we'll see.
But yeah, man, I mean, apart from that, Brian, do you have anything else you want to add to the audience before we let them go ahead of this crazy end to Round 2 of the NBA playoffs?
No, just excited. We have a Game 7 on Sunday. That's going to be fun to see what happens with Suns Maps. Hopefully it's a close game. Hopefully we get another Game 7. As much as I'm rooting for the Bucks, I mean, the NBA fan in me, and I think, Dan, I can speak for a lot of folks, we would love to see a Bucks-Celtics Game 7 on Sunday. I think that would be just the cherry on top for this second round. And even if you could throw in a Warriors-Grizzlies Game 7 and have 3 of them on Sunday, I mean, that'd just be wild.
I'm there with you, man. I think that ultimately it's more likely going to be of the two scenarios, like one Eastern, one Western Conference Game 7. But let's wait and see, man. I mean, either way, the NBA fandom in me is just crazy to see how this turns out.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. Hopefully, even with no games on Saturday, I know we have the games tonight. And then obviously we at least have one game on Sunday. So it's going to be fun, man.
All right, man. Awesome. Well, there you go, guys. We're excited to get this second round wrapped up. After the second round, we're obviously going to give you guys our take on the conference finals, who we have winning it, and just any relevant NBA news. So just stay tuned for that and make sure to keep hitting us up on social. We love interacting with you guys. We love the feedback and the commentary you give us. Definitely appreciate it.